It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. Not a lot of notes this week. It wasn't because I wasn't out. It's just that there weren't a lot of noteworthy things that came across my view, I guess. I did have a mosquito on the 20th. It was in one of the heated chambers up at the Spruce site, so it was 12 degrees warmer inside that chamber than outside, and I suspect that that was what prompted that mosquito into action. There are also a number of spiders still active inside some of the warmer chambers up there, so as the climate changes and as the earth warms, we will be plagued by mosquitoes into November, I suspect. I've been noticing, too, that the northern holly and the high bush cranberries are still fairly heavy on the bushes. The birds must have had a great deal of food available to them this fall and didn't need to turn to some of these I'll call them lesser tasting, perhaps less flavorful fruits. And so they have avoided them for now. And we'll be watching to see when those things become something that they are definitely going to want to turn to. The students up at Ely Junior High had noted the presence of gray jays in that area. And this past week, I saw over by kind of by Trout Lake, the Come On In Beach area on Highway 10, I saw a northern shrike sitting on the power line. And the northern shrike and the gray jay look quite a bit alike. If you're not an experienced birder, they're both a fairly large gray birds. But the shrike has a black mask and black wingtips, black wings, and a black tail. And those that black is what delineates the shrike from the gray jay. The gray jay has almost no black on it. And the gray jay has a rather, I wouldn't say inconspicuous. It just has a smaller beak than even a blue jay. Even though the gray jay might be larger than the blue jay. And, of course, the shrike has this large black beak with a hook at the end, much as a raptor might, much as you might think of a red-tailed hawk or an eagle's beak. It has that hook at the end. And the shrike, though it is a songbird, it belongs to the family Passerines, it is a predator of birds and small mammals, and it will kill them whenever it can. And that hook on the end of its beak is to reach in and snip the spinal cord right behind the head. They just reach down and they insert that little point and they crush or break the spinal cord, and that sort of ends the resistance of their prey. But the shrike is quite an interesting bird in its own right, because it is sometimes called the butcher bird, and that is because of its habit of hanging prey on thorns, like the edge of a blackberry bush or the barbs of a barbed wire fence or in the crotch of a tree. The shrike will oftentimes hang its prey in those conspicuous places. And some research has indicated that part of the reason for doing this is that it will show any other shrike, especially a female shrike, that this fellow is a good provider and can guarantee a source of food for a female if she would want to mate with him. The scientific name for the northern shrike is Lanius excubitor, and it translates as the watchman butcher. And the part of it that has to do with being a watchman, the excubitor, refers to the habit of sitting on top of power poles or power lines or up at the top of a tree and watching for its prey. And then it will swoop down and attack these things. One of the habits of the bird that you can identify if you're watching birds is that the shrike will often fly fairly low over the ground, and then as it comes to land, will sweep almost vertically to climb to the top of whatever tree or power pole or power line that it's going to settle on, and that gives it that high perch where it can see what's around it and find its prey, which might be a small bird or it might be a small mammal. So watch for the shrike. It's a really interesting bird, and it is here every winter. Driving through the mesic forest up by the spruce site, there's one area where there's a pretty good stand of red maple and aspen and ironwood. And this time of year, the ironwoods, especially the smaller ones, are pretty easy to pick out because the leaves persist. And we've talked about this in the past, but it's always good to remind you that when you see a tree this time of year whose leaves are still hanging in there, it's generally either an ironwood or it can oftentimes be a red oak. But if the leaves are fairly small and slightly toothed along the edge, they are ironwoods. And of course, the red oak tree is going to have a much heavier leaf and darker and bigger, and the lobes on the edges of the tooth are going to easily identify it as an oak and not an ironwood. So if you're wandering around this fall, maybe out for a walk after that Thanksgiving dinner that's coming up, why, take a look and into the woods and see what's holding its leaves. As I mentioned earlier, I've been doing a lot of skating this fall, and it's kind of interesting because we've had a couple of snowfalls and some rain, and it's all conspired to make the surface of the lakes a little bit like orange peel. Think of an orange and look closely at it, and you see all the little depressions. Well, the lake ice right now is covered with these little depressions, at least Hale Lake and Crooked Lake. And those depressions, those little pockets, are so small that you really don't even feel them with your blade. The ice is fairly smooth, even in spite of this orange peely kind of ice on top. But it is it's great skating right now, and with the storms that are forecast to be coming our way, today might be the day to get out and lace them up and take one last wing around the lake if your lake is frozen. There are many that are not. I was by Trout Lake this week, and also by Pacagama Lake, and also by Wabana Lake, and all three of those have open water. So be careful. As always, be cautious when you go out skating. I was driving up to the bog the other morning, Sunday morning, in fact, and there was a nice, healthy-looking red fox that dashed up a driveway hoping that I might not notice it, but I did. And as I was watching him, he turned, or she turned, and looked back at me. And this is a fox that I have seen in this area many, many times. And sometimes I think he might be just showing off for me. But it's always nice to see a fox this time of year. And finally, from some of the notes that were on the KAXE KBXE Season Watch page, there was a great video from the Sac Zim Bog of a great gray owl that attacked and killed some small mammal and then sort of leaned over to eat it and ultimately decided not to and flew off and left it. And that made me wonder a little bit. There are several mammals out there who, for one reason or another, are very unpalatable to animals. I'm thinking cats and dogs especially will catch and kill either a shrew or a star-nosed mole and will completely ignore it after killing it. They won't eat it, whereas if it were a mouse or a vole, they probably would scarf it down. And I just wonder if this great gray owl might have hit a shrew or a star-nosed mole and just decided, you know what, I really don't like the taste of these. Some notes about barred owls in the area. And Saturday I mentioned that I was skating with my, I didn't mention it, but I'd been skating with my sister and with a kayak lady and another woman who's familiar to many KEXE listeners, Kim. And the four of us were skating on Hale Lake, and my sister told a story about a northern cardinal that came to visit her feeder and was pretty excited about that. And who wouldn't be? Seeing a northern cardinal is always a lot of fun. I long for the day when they'll be at my house. I've had to be satisfied with the usual group of woodpeckers and the like, and have not had cardinals at my feeder. Looking back on this date in 2010, on the 26th, I found pussy willows that were emerging, and there were still some mergansers around, goldfinches, pine grosbeaks, common redpolls, pine siskins. These are all from 2009, and tundra swans. There were a bunch of tundra swans, and there still are, really, a lot of tundra swans in the area. A lot of people are seeing tundra swans, so keep an eye out for those. If you're by any of the lakes or rivers, why, you'll want to be watching for those large white birds who don't really migrate. They'll be here all winter. Other notes from that period of time, river otters and common loons in 1986, 25 loons on Sugar Lake, and they're diving and feeding on shiners. And this was a note that I got from Mike Kellen, and thank you, Mike. And so there were some loons still in this area on open water. And if you have loons or tundra swans, trumpeter swans, whatever, and you want to share those observations with us, we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call or send us an email. We'd like to hear from you. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Tune in again next week, and we'll do it all again.